Lisa Williams, and you're listening to the podcast of the Center for Citizen Media. Today's podcast features a conversation with Travis Henry of YourHub.com. YourHub is part of the Denver News Agency, which also owns the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. Travis talks about how YourHub has transformed how the newspaper interacts with readers, as well as how the YourHub model and technology is being licensed to media companies across the U.S.
But I'll just, YourHub.com, we started this in last April, so we're a little bit over a year old. And what we are is we're 44 websites and 15 print editions. And basically what we are is we're community journalism sites where citizens and can go on our sites and they can submit stories and they can submit blogs and they can submit events and columns and photos. And what we do is we take that and we package it into our print editions, which are delivered with the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post. And they're actually topped sections that are zoned. So you know, if you are in a suburb called Parker of Denver and you go to our website and you submit your stories in Parker and you submit your news and your photos, what we do is we're a section of the Rocky Mountain News. The Rocky Mountain News produces it, and they take all that news and they take all that content and they throw it in, we put it in the print edition, and then it's a weekly section, and it's a section just like, you know, your sports section would be your sports section, or your spotlight section, your entertainment section would be your entertainment section. It's basically the citizen journalism section of the newspapers.
Great. So you have zone sections that are specific to particular local areas. Now, when you, I'm familiar with that from various places that I've lived, but usually the content in there is produced by reporters. Are the YourHub sections a combination of those two things, of things submitted by readers and things written by reporters?
You know, in the very beginning, a lot of our staff members did write some stories and write some things. It's now, I guess I would say, it's probably about 95% all reader user submitted.
Wow, that's amazing. What do you, how do you feel about the outcome? Do you feel that there are specific ones that are particularly sort of cohesive or vibrant?
Yeah, I think that the outcome has been just phenomenal. You know, we saw in the very beginning when they started, when we were looking at this and we were looking at how other sites did and how they were performing or whatever, we didn't really know what to expect, but we saw some successful sites and they would have maybe 5 postings a week, or, you know, people getting involved. We have thousands of postings a week, and the sites are just they're just alive. And on our 1 year anniversary, we brought in what we consider the top 30 contributors to the site, and they came in. It was just powerful to be in the room because they talked about how they feel like they're part of this online family and online community, and it's just been really powerful. It's been really fun to see it grow. Because especially in the very beginning when we were putting out these sites, we were saying, you know, where's the content going to come from? Are we going to have enough good content? And now it's every day it's fun because our staff members are sending links to each other and saying, gosh, look at this amazing story, or look at this fun story, look at this posting. So,
I always think, you know, you have a success on your hands when your visitors come to talk to each other rather than to read what you have to say or talk to you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, you know, they are, it's fun too, because the users that we have we've kind of labeled them super users, but we don't really want to use that label. Just the users that we've kind of identified, who we know are on the site all the time or whatever, they also help police the site. They also help, they give us suggestions. They'll, you know, when someone gets on and starts, you know, maybe tearing down somebody's story, they'll come to their defense. So it's really fun. What we talked about, it was kind of like a family reunion, because we were meeting all these people that we had never really met before,
mm-hmm.
but that we have gotten to know through the community and through the websites. And we, you know, what was great about it is some family reunions, you go away and you don't see those people again for 5 years. But in our instance, we go away and we see them in, you know, an hour, because they're all back on the site.
The next morning online, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you think?
Someone said they were born in, gosh, Joe McDaniel, he talked about like his whole, he's an older gentleman, and he talked about his life, and then he said, you know, he found YourHub.com and he was born again. So it's kind of interesting.
What do you think that your sort of high volume users have in common, if anything?
Nothing. They're, well, a sense of humor, I guess I would say. They're mostly bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blogging's where, and but they're blogging about community. It's not, you know, our site's so different than other sites because the other sites you have all these techno bloggers who blog about blogging, which I think is the worst thing that you can do. And I think a lot of sites, that's where they failed, is they created these community sites and then they said, but we're going to be very highbrow and talk about blogging and talk about, you know, and it's like, no, if you're talking about community sites, you know, you need to talk about, you know, your kids and the church and things like that. And that's what our these guys are. They're not technical, so they don't, you know, we don't have all the bells and whistles on our blog because we're doing reverse publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not there for the bells and the whistles and to talk about RSS feeds and stuff like that. They're there to talk about their kids, you know. They're there to talk about the community, about... And so that's kind of what's really fun, and that's kind of what they have in common is that kind of they all have a sense of humor, and they're more talking about their family and their personal lives than, you know, technology or citizen journal. The funniest thing in the world that, you know, and I don't want to knock Dan on this or whatever, but the thing that kind of that I find humorous is that there was all these citizen journalists. These citizen journalism sites that I saw that sprouted up that talked about citizen journalism, which to me is counterintuitive because basically, so you're inviting journalists to talk about citizen journalism when really, no, you just want the citizens to kind of let go, you know, let them define what your site is going to be and let them, you know, citizen journalists don't care about journalism in the traditional sense that traditional journalists may. Does that make sense at all?
No, I think it completely makes sense. I also run a local news website, and I don't use those terms because I think it intimidates people. I think a lot of people in my community have a lot of respect for the profession of journalism, and really they're not journalists.
Yeah, it's not, and they wouldn't even want to be that. You know, that's not what they want to be labeled as. That's not what they want. You know, and so what we decided with our sites from early on is we are really, you know, a lot of citizen journalism sites too. They say, you know what, we're going to let the citizens take over, and let them define how the sites are going to be. But we have all these rules, and. You know, that's not really journalism, so we're not going to allow that. And we're not going to allow businesses to post, and we're not going to allow politicians to post, and we're not going to allow, you know. So all these people have First Amendment rights, but these people don't, and we're going to let the community take it over, but they have to do it this way. And we said, you know what, screw that. We're letting the community do it, you know. Obviously, we have some oversight because we don't want any, you know, we don't want racists. Mm-hmm. Postings, we don't want pornography or whatever, but otherwise we just kind of let it go, and I think that's what's kind of made us, you know, a little bit more fun and a little bit more successful than other sites. You know, obviously, we, you know, when it comes to our print editions, we're, you know, using, I guess, our judgment as journalists and what goes in those print editions, and we're not running advertisements, you know, or a politician who's just kind of primping his campaign. But on the sites, I mean, on the internet, you gotta just let it flow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, the sites that I've encountered that are really successful have tons of items on them every day that would never make the newspaper, and that's not because there's anything wrong with the newspaper.
Yeah, no, definitely nothing wrong with the newspaper. And that's the other thing, too, when some people are, when the critics of yourhub.com came calling, they would look at yourhub.com and they would say, this is terrible, it's not real journalism, you have stories about car washes on there, you know, you have politicians who are saying this kind of thing, and the thing I got to keep telling them is this isn't the newspaper, you know, this isn't the Rocky Mountain News, this isn't the Denver Post, the Rocky Mountain News isn't going to run a story about a car wash, but it's a community site, and if you live in Parker, where the local, you know, football team is having a car wash, that is important to you. You know, because
right.
you want to support the football team and you want to get your car washed and it's a block away, and so you go to the site and you see that, and that's important to you. Now, you can be some kind of cerebral journalist and say, you know what, that's terrible and it's not news or whatever, but I'm saying we're community sites. We're like a billboard. We're a billboard for the community to go to, and we're not trying to be, you know, we're not trying to be the traditional newspaper. We're trying to be actually the exact opposite, you know.
Mm.
I think because newspapers are saying, well, what's going on with this internet, and you know, how can we get a part of it? And for the longest time, what they would do is they would create websites that just mirrored their newspaper.
Mm.
Which I don't think is, you know, which that's fine, and that's how people can find a newspaper online, but then they're missing a huge big chunk out of it. And if we're going to talk about disruptive technology and we want to participate in it, the way we need to really look and kind of throw away the whole model of being, you know, making websites that look like newspapers. And YourHub.com, when we first started it, our website looked like a newspaper.
Mm.
And when we did a redesign, I think we did a redesign maybe 6 months into it. It's because we had talked to people and we had, you know, and we brought in users or whatever, and they didn't want it to look like a newspaper. And so then we redesigned it so we don't think it looks as much as like a newspaper. We still have that newspaper mentality, and we think, oh, this doesn't look like a newspaper, and someone will say, yeah, it does. But we're trying to get away from that. And so... I just got a frog in my throat. But so that's kind of our philosophy right now on how we're doing things, is that we're actually trying to separate ourselves more and more from the daily newspapers that, you know, definitely support us and help us and guide us, but we definitely want to separate ourselves because we found that the users we are reaching and the people that want to use us, you know, are not using us as a news site as they would the new, you know, the daily newspapers.
I have this theory, and I'd like to run it by you,
sure.
Which is that maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago, there was a more of a sense of community around newspapers. There was essentially a conversation surrounding the newspaper that didn't happen on the pages of the newspaper, but happened in, you know, the local coffee shop. But because people, frankly, Americans work very hard, you know, they get up in the morning, in the wintertime around here, people get up in the morning, it's dark, they come home and it's dark, and they don't know or see their neighbors. And in essence, these sites are recreating that community that used to happen at a coffee shop that people simply cannot physically get to anymore because of how hard they work.
Yeah, hey, what's your site called?
It's called h2otown.info.
Okay. I thought that I'd read something like that, and maybe I'd read something that you had written. But yeah, I mean, I think, I guess I would say that I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, one thing that I've kind of grasped my arms around is that I read the biography of Benjamin Franklin, and the Benjamin Franklin, they were talking about how newspapers originally started, and at least in America. And at least where Benjamin Franklin was at. And basically it was printers who put out newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Their job was being a printer, not being a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen was at like taverns or whatever, the barkeepers used to be the original journalists, where people would come in out from the country or whatever and, you know, come out from the farms, and this is in rural areas, and they would tell the barkeep, you know, what was going on, and the barkeeper would write it down in this journal. And then he'd give the journal to the printer, and the printer would print it,
mm-hmm.
and they would distribute it, and that's basically how everyone got their news or, you know, gossip or whatever. And so there weren't these professional journalists or whatever. There was just kind of the conversations. Now my background is in traditional professional journalism. I was a cop reporter. I've been a managing editor. I've been a city editor. I've been all these kind of things. So I will never ever discount the need for professional journalists and the newspapers that we have today, because I think that they do an amazing job. The Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post are both amazing newspapers. But what we are is we're fulfilling that role, and like you just said about the coffee shop, of the community, community conversations, which don't really exist as much anymore because people are so pressed for their time.
Mm, mm.
They're being bombarded by, you know, they have so many outlets, you know, they turn on their TV and there's a million different news channels and there's a million different magazines coming at them, and there's a million different newspapers. So to say that you're going to create citizen journalism sites to, you know, be an added newspaper or news site, is that's not the right way to go.
Mm.
What it's doing is it's facilitating community. It's where a community can go and talk about what's going on in their community, whether it be the high school or the car wash or the things that the big media critics will say, that's not journalism. And then we're like, yeah, exactly right, you know, thank God, you know, because we have enough of that. This is where someone can go and they can talk about things that are going on in their town. And I was also managing editor for weekly newspapers. And weekly newspapers, you know, good weekly newspapers kind of facilitate community, you know, within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of weekly newspapers and most, I mean, I would say too many weekly newspapers, what they do is they just rehash what the city council meeting, what happened in the city council meeting last night. I mean, they send a reporter, the reporter has, there's three agenda items on the city council, you know, agenda, so they write three stories about that. They have the pros and the cons because they have the city council's members, you know, who disagree on things, and there's their story, and they feel like that they're putting out a community newspaper doing that. And I say that's, and as a managing editor of four weekly newspapers, I learned really quick that's not what readers want.
Right.
And that's why weekly newspapers get stuck with the low circulation they do, because they all of a sudden become this good old boys club, and what they're doing is they're writing about the city council, they're writing about the Rotary Club, and they're writing about the Chamber of Commerce, and they have to do that because they want their advertising, but they're not reaching the readers, because what the readers care about is they care about the kids and the people and their neighbors and what's going on. Like, you know, and sad to say, maybe people should care more about their city council meetings, but they really just don't. You know, they don't. They care.
Well, I also think they're really challenged in terms of how they do it. I actually cover our city council meetings. And I freely admit I cover them via TiVo. Okay?
Yeah.
I record the local access cable broadcast.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I think a lot of newspapers have a hard time getting at is that in a lot of functional places, you know, places where there isn't really a lot of tragedy, the community is actually very funny.
Yeah.
But if the newspaper points it out, it seems like they're a bully.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, one of the most popular things on my site is actually tiny video captures of funny things that happen at the town council meeting.
Nice.
It's
the
tiny daily show moment.
Yeah.
And someone once suggested that our motto should be, we watch local access cable so you don't have to.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, but I think if our local newspaper did that, they'd be in kind of an awkward position.
They
would.
So
not only do they have to, they feel like they have to cover the same things again and again that maybe aren't the center of attention, they're not allowed to cover them in a way with real flair, I think, or they feel limited to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they could, and they'd probably be successful,
mm-hmm.
but it would be breaking the mold, you know, and we've done this for hundreds and hundreds of years, why would we do something different, you know? And it's, we have someone on our Lone Tree site who covers the Lone Tree Council meetings, and she is freaking hilarious. And she is, I mean, she's hilarious. But if you read it, you would know what happened at that meeting, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
But she interjects her own humor in it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of makes fun because, you know, they were talking about sexually oriented businesses, and she counted how many times they said sexually oriented businesses. and, you know, the look on the lady's face next to her. And so the other, you know, so finally, the citizen newspaper, or the citizen newspaper, I'm sorry, the local weekly newspaper that they had there, decided they wanted to interview her because, you know, she was doing this. And the city council actually, you know, wrote to us and they said, will you please not have her cover the council? Someone else needs to cover the council. And we just were like, sorry, you know. I mean,
we can't stop her, you know. People are just walking up to this site and doing, you know, putting in their own two cents, right?
Exactly. And she's awesome, you know. We were just like, I remember, you know, I went to the API, it was last month, right? They had me at the American Press Institute speaking to I think it was like 25 professors, journalism professors, from various universities around the country. And they hated yourhub.com and they hate citizen journalism and they just think it's the most terrible thing. And some of them didn't, but the louder ones did, you know. And they just thought that the internet, what scared me is that they still don't see the internet as a threat to traditional newspapers, and you know, it's kind of scary that these guys are teaching our future journalists. But you know, and then, but there were some also very innovative people who were like, "Oh, I want to buy stock," you know, and they and they said they, you know, this one woman compared citizen journalism to rap music, you know, where it didn't get very much respect, but she thought it was very revolutionary. But they all loved the lady who covered the Lone Tree City Council meetings. They all read that and they said, "Now we like this," you know, because it was just, it was a way to, you know, city council meetings, especially at weekly newspapers. And I don't know, have you ever worked at a weekly newspaper?
You know, very early on when I got out of college, I worked for a couple of weeklies. I don't call myself a journalist because I don't really think I stayed with the profession long enough to master it. I moved on into the technology industry.
Yeah.
But I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, basically, you know, they have like three papers to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have like pages to fill. So instead of, you know, real journalism is like cutting, you know, boiling down things.
Mm-hmm.
But weekly newspapers are like, "Oh, we need to write to fill the space," and the stories become very so long and just boring and just, you know. And I'm not saying that there isn't a role for definitely we need to cover city council meetings. I mean, newspapers do, you know. But there's a kind of a different way to do it, and it's not just rehashing everything that happened at a meeting before. It's finding the important things, addressing, also telling people why this matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things, people just cover meetings, and they say, "Oh, and then this person said this, and this person said this, and this person said this, and it passed on a 4-3 vote." And it's, at some point, you just have to say, none of that matters. You say, "You know what, the vote was 4-3. Don't quote all the people. How is this going to affect? How is this going to affect the town? What's going to happen now? What do the neighbors think?" You know, you know, it bugs me to no end when I look at these little weekly newspapers where it's every story has like the same three people quoted in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
City manager, city town councilman, city manager, and no neighbors and no faces.
Well,
now,
go ahead.
Oh, okay. People will criticize us because we don't, you know, we barely have city councilmen in our paper at all. But that's because we think that's someone else taking care of that. What we're doing is, you know what? Your neighbor's kid had a ninth birthday. We're putting it in our paper. Your neighbor just won the city tennis championship. We're putting it in our section. Somebody just won a scholarship. We're putting it in our section. That's what we care about. And so, I don't know.
I think, you know, that gets at something, which is that frequently the most successful sites that are doing this kind of thing, and I'll refrain from calling it citizen journalism because I think that term has real problems too. I use it when I'm talking to other people who are sort of local news blog nerds because when I say it, they know what I'm talking about. But it, very frequently, they're in competition with nothing. Okay, so to sort of compare and contrast them with the newspaper is kind of odd because we're printing stuff that is simply not covered any place by anybody.
Yeah.
We're not in that big sort of media competition you were talking about earlier where there are tons of magazines and, you know, newspapers and television stations. But one of the things that I find, and I think you've got your finger on it in concentrating on what's going on at weekly newspapers, is that you get 5 minutes out of a major media market in this in this country, and you're really not suffering from media overload.
Yeah.
You know? I think sometimes when people read about my site, they assume that I live in the sticks, and I don't. I can see the Boston skyline from my backyard, and I live in a dense urban neighborhood. But we have a weekly, and, you know, resources for those papers have been really squeezed.
They have.
As a blogger, I'm not actually outnumbered by the staff of our local weekly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, and I think also the economics of those papers makes it very challenging for them to do the kind of contextual reporting that you're talking about, because who's going to stay there?
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
People stay a few years and they move on if they want to advance their career. Of course they do. We've actually been very lucky in my local neighborhood of getting really talented people that we have had for a little while. But, you know, I think there are economic realities about the local news media that simply aren't, those issues aren't going to go away, and essentially the internet provides a much more radically low-cost way to get at the things that you wish your local newspaper would but doesn't and can't.
Yep, exactly.
And
I agree. Yeah, and part of, you know, and it may seem, and I think you've hit it right, because it may seem that I'm being overly critical of weekly newspapers, but I think you're right. It's not that sometimes that they may not aspire to be that way
mm-hmm.
or not want to be that way, but you're right. I mean, when it's three people who are not only writing the stories but also laying out the stories and taking the photos and, you know, it's hard to step back and be like, are we seeing the whole picture here? You know,
right?
Because they're usually journalists. They're straight out of school, and they have a lot of things to do. So it's not, you know, it's not that I don't know that even if they don't know that that's what they need to be doing it, but it's the realities of financially, can they do it?
Well, it's also the fact that their boss's boss needs to get the clue, not them, because a lot of times these weekly newspapers, I know a very few that aren't owned by very large chains.
Yeah.
You know, and so the power isn't really at the edges with the reporter who's on the ground covering that community.
Exactly.
I think that they don't really have, you know, the freedom to say, hey, let's make a change on our website and have a community forum. They probably
yeah.
have absolutely no control at all over
yeah.
what gets published when and where. And so for them to be sort of able to do the things that we're talking about, there are people at levels above them who have to give them the tools and the permission to do this.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the things that the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News have done with Your Hub, is given permission to a group of people to do it.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, because I know I worked for a newspaper chain that they were afraid of the internet,
mm.
and they wouldn't, like, you know, post their stories until, like, 10 p.m. Or I'm sorry, 10 a.m. because they thought it would kill subscriptions. And there's also something that just happened, is that there's a newspaper chain out here who bought another newspaper chain,
mm-hmm.
and the newspaper chain that bought the other newspaper chain was actually a smaller chain,
mm-hmm.
but the smaller chain, the publisher and the owner, he hates the internet. If you go to his site, his internet site, it says, you know, this is the stories you would find in our newspaper, and then on the bottom, there's a question, and it says, why don't you put your stories on the newspaper, and he explains, because we want you to buy subscriptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just bought a newspaper chain that actually really was kind of innovative for a weekly newspaper. When we launched YourHub.com, they launched their own community sites,
mm-hmm.
their own community microsites or whatever, and it's kind of scary now, because this other newspaper chain bought it, and what we think, what the staff thinks, is that he's going to just turn it off.
Right.
You know, because, so I guess, you know, what you said is right, is it really comes from the top.
Mm.
I mean, I look at these two newspaper chains, one weekly chain, I think, got it. They're like, hey, we need to embrace the internet. And there's some who are still, even in the year 2006, still aren't getting it, you know. Don't realize that the internet is something that they need to, you know, they need to integrate. The Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post they get it, you know. They realize that to be successful this day forward is they need to stop, well, at least the Rocky Mountain News, because that's who I work for, and John Temple, what he says is, you know, we have to cease to be a newspaper company and grow to be a multimedia company.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so yourhub.com is kind of the answer to, hey, how do we get at the real grassroots level and let these people who, now the internet has opened up communication to everybody. When before, it wasn't open to everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for, if you had something to say or write, you know, you'd have to send it to maybe a newspaper, a letter to the editor, or, you know, or go door to door to talk to your neighbors, or, I mean, it was hard to do. Now it's kind of easy to do. So, I mean, now it's super easy to do. So that,
right.
And that's what we're here for.
The one thing that I think that we as a group of sort of people who are doing local news on the internet do sort of lack is that the economics of local advertising on the internet are not yet that good, because it's very difficult. There aren't a whole lot of ad networks that can really target with local precision.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to change, but my sort of reading of what's going on is that local has started to happen on the internet because the tools have become available and widespread, and if you want to use the free tools, cheap or free.
Yeah.
But I think things will really explode when sort of you know, somebody gets on the case of the economics and allows people to do true locally targeted advertising. I mean, I got to tell you, my local hardware store has no interest in advertising with Google. They want to advertise on a very specific set of sites, and that's something that newspapers have done, but we haven't really gotten decent technology to do for the internet.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, I mean, the cool thing, I mean, I guess the cool thing about what we're doing here at yourhub.com, I think what's really cool is that my dad owns a local bar, right? It's a mm-hmm. local hole in the wall bar, tavern, restaurant, whatever. And he could never ever advertise in the Rocky Mountain News or never be on mm-hmm. the internet ever. I mean, he just couldn't do it. And so all the newspapers that he was advertising in were these little tiny little you know, singles newspapers or whatever. They were only delivered to other bars that advertised, right? That's where the circulation was. If you were an advertiser, you were also, you know, you're where the newspaper was dropped off. So with yourhub.com, because we have these zoned editions or whatever, he could actually afford to buy advertising to be in his zone, targeted zone. But the other cool thing is that he could actually have an ad on our webpage.
Yep.
And a splash page. And I'm looking right now at my Parker, yourhub.com, and I'm looking, and there's Jasmine Chinese and Asian Cafe, which is in Lone Tree, which is a little tiny town right outside of Parker. And they have an ad on our website. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you that it's because the people who go to the Parker website are probably pretty much Parker residents or live somewhere right around there. And there's an ad that's locally targeted, you know, expressly towards them. So, and you're right, when the technology increases and the website recognizes, well, and I see this sometimes anyway too, when I'll go to different sites and the technology will throw up a Denver, ad at me because it knows I'm from Denver, you know?
Right.
And so it's, as the technology increases, I think you're right, it's going to be kind of really neat to see not only targeting where you live, but also what your interests are and which kind of ads you want.
I think, you know, the technology has enabled us to get at and deliver, I guess, what you might call micro news.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
And I think just the way there's sort of micro news that, in a way, the newspaper was kind of too big to get in the mouse hole of.
Yeah.
I think there's a whole class of advertisers that. The newspaper hasn't been able to approach either for exactly the reasons that you targeted. And I think we've got the news part, and that's what we need in a way to get those super hyper-local advertisers. And those local businesses are out there. They just have nobody to buy ads from in many cases.
They definitely are. And you know, and I work for the Denver News. Well, I work for the Rocky Mountain News, but, I mean, we're part of the Denver newspaper agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, is that... they're in it to make money. I mean, they're a for-profit company,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not doing this because they don't think that they're not going to make money, right?
Right.
I mean, so when they looked at this, I mean, there's like 90% of the businesses in Colorado don't advertise with us
mm-hmm.
because there's too, because we've outpriced them, you
right.
know, and we're not, and so. This is a direct response to we can get those advertisers now, and also
mm-hmm.
these advertisers they want to be in this. You know, when we're doing an athlete of the week, or we're doing, you know, an Eagle Scout or whatever, and the local restaurant wants to support the Eagle Scouts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's powerful.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. This is an actual half hour has gone by. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm only going to ask you one last question.
Okay.
And you did mention multimedia. Talk to me about, you know, what you guys think about doing with audio, video, photos.
We want them. Right now, we don't have audio or video. And the reason why we don't, we've built everything on our site. We haven't went out and got tools that anyone else has built.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that would be easy for us to do, is go out and get, you know, a podcasting tool or whatever and build it into our site or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
but see, what we've done with our, is what we want to do is we want to build it, and because we're very database-driven, so yes. Everybody's name is attached to theirs or whatever. So we're in the development stage, and so right now we're having a launch tonight that's going to totally revamp our classifieds.
Wow.
It's also going to totally revamp the way our front page looks.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just, we started with very bare bones, and we're going forward. Video and sound are very high on our priorities. We don't have that yet, and that's all. That's all I can really say is that we definitely want it, but we're constantly improving our site. And right now, we're at the process where we improved our classifieds and just the way that our front page functions. So
great.
That's where we're at right now. I mean, I don't know if you also know yourhub.com. We've syndicated it.
Mm-hmm.
So we started in Colorado, and we just built it because we wanted to build it, you know, because we had this plan. But then newspapers across the country started calling us saying, how do you do this? How do you do this? We're a for-profit business, and we say, hey, why don't we just syndicate it? So what we do now is we're in six different states.
Mm-hmm.
We're in California.
And they're licensing a platform from you?
They license the software, the support, the business plan, the marketing plan. The LA Daily News has just signed on.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we are in, I'm trying to think, in let me just go to your hub. We're in Texas, California. I'm just actually looking it up because sometimes I forget. Yeah, we're in California, Colorado, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. And what it is those newspapers, like the Treasure Coast newspaper in Florida, they syndicate it from us. In California, the Ventura County Star syndicated from us. The LA Daily News syndicated it from us. And we're actually, right now, 20 different states have signed on, 20 different newspapers. Well, no, 20 different newspapers right now we are in, kind of in negotiations with
mm-hmm.
them. The biggest newspaper would be the Chicago Tribune.
Wow, that's great. Now, is there an ad network behind that? Are you actually sharing ad revenue for non-local advertising?
We will. Right now, we just do local.
Right.
We need to get our page views and our traffic up enough to where we can really start targeting the the Nationals,
right?
You know, and if the Trib signs on, then the Rocky Mountain News, right now we're the big dogs in this whole race or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If the Trib signs on or whatever, then we become just kind of the little syndicated partners, which is okay with us, you know. And they have, an LA Daily News. I mean, we have 44 hubs, and LA Daily News, you know, they could at some point, you know, be up to 100 hubs.
Amazing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a way to get at those communities economically.
It is.
You know, that you could never serve before, really.
It is, and this is the way that I always put it is that newspapers, who I look at as my competition. I don't really look at the weeklies because they serve as a different function.
Mm-hmm.
Who I look at as my competitors are the Craigslists and the Googles and the MySpaces of the world. That's
mm-hmm.
who I really look at it. And newspapers are saying, okay, how can we combat against these people? And traditionally what newspapers have done is they've always gone it alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, the Rocky Mountain News, how can we fight against these people, you know, or whatever? Because basically they're based in their one locality, and how can they fight them alone? Well, what's cool about yourhub.com is if we syndicate it, and all these different newspapers now kind of team up, right? They team up because they're all syndicating yourhub.com so they have a global presence on the web. But what's really cool about it is they also are still local.
Yes.
Treasure Coast newspaper in Treasure Coast, Florida, is running their yourhub.com. So they really know the local events going on. They know the local news. They know the local people. So when someone posts something on that, they recognize because they know locality. Now, Craigslist can come up with a million different, you know, places on the internet saying, now we're in Denver, now we're here, but there's still some, you know, a bunch of guys in there, you know, in wherever they're at, San Francisco
mm-hmm,
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that newspapers can actually use, we can team up to fight these global, you know, sources that are kind of threatening us, but at the same time use our local strengths, because that's our biggest strength, is that we are local, to combat it. So
great, thank you so much, Travis. This was fantastic. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Center for Citizen Media's podcast. Our theme music is Accelerated Lifestyle by the band Revolution Void. Revolution Void produces music under a Creative Commons license, and you can hear more at revolutionvoid.com. For more on Citizen Media, see the Center's blog at citmedia.org/blog. That's citmedia.org.